More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Over the summer, many new restaurants have opened around town, and if there is any area where that trend especially was concentrated, it is south of downtown. Bayview is already a hot area for dining and nightlife, but between downtown and Bayview is Walker's Point, which has seen fits and starts as it's come into its own and transitioned away from a predominantly bar-focused area to a more dining-based residential part of town. The changes have not happened overnight, but the number of restaurants opening up has caught some by surprise, including Lake Effect's Dan Harmon and dining contributor Ann Christensen.
What is happening in Walker's Point? Well, a lot of development, not limited to restaurants, because there's a new ice cream place and Clock Shadow Creamery, which is still new, and there's Central Standard, a craft distillery. There's Brenner Brewing. There's Milwaukee Brewing Company. I mean, there's people brewing beer, making cheese, making ice cream, and then there are a lot more restaurants.
And
now
roasting coffee.
And roasting coffee, yes. The Anodyne. There's an Anodyne location down there, which is great. Really fun location. I love it. But there's a lot of there's still real estate to be had there, and I think that's why it's enticing to people that want to open a restaurant. And plus, there's a lot of other places, and I think they kind of feel like they're going to be able to feed off each other.
At this point, it seems like the restaurant scene is ahead of the residential scene.
I think so, because, yeah. I mean, think about this. You've been probably going to restaurants there for a while. I certainly have. And bars, too. I mean, you know, you think about, Ginger, the restaurant Ginger, which was preceded by a couple of other restaurants, plus there was a gay bar upstairs, I believe, called Dish. And, you know, there's Tony's Bar, which has been there forever, Caroline's, the Soup Brothers. He's been doing soups there for probably at least 10 years. So you think about Crazy Water. Oh, my God. Crazy Water is one of the first higher-end restaurants to open to kind of kick off that movement of, you know, finer or nicer restaurants going in down there and, you know, taking a risk on a neighborhood that they, you know, really didn't know if they could survive.
Do you know why there's all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but why this is a place where new restaurants are opening up?
I think, I think part of it is development. I think restaurants that maybe at one point wanted to move downtown or Third Ward are priced out. You know, there's not real estate to be found in the downtown area or at prices they can afford. So I think that development has moved kind of south, just south of Third Ward to like Walker's Point, and then maybe that Bayview development is just moving a little bit further north. So I think you're talking about real estate that's available and maybe at prices that, you know, people can afford. And it's kind of cool. I mean, they're old buildings, so you're looking at a lot of very cool materials, you know, exposed brick and a lot of wood, high ceilings, things that are pretty interesting to people that want a space that they're, you know, they don't have to have some prefab ceiling or put in a tile floor or linoleum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point in time, you're probably looking at parking situation that isn't terrible either. You know, there's parking, which is, you know, that's a big consideration, too.
Well, let's talk about some of these places in Walker's Point anyway. There's others that we're going to talk about as well.
Yeah.
But the fire station on National and Second, I've always thought that would make a really interesting late night kind of restaurant, like the bar crowd. But this is kind of the opposite of that, which is it's a breakfast place.
Right. And this is really new. It opened within the last, I would say probably early September. And it opened by a restaurateur who has another restaurant in Walker's Point, Peter Sandroni of La Miranda.
Okay. And it's called Engine Company Number 3.
Sorry, yes. Sorry. And from talking to Peter over the years, I knew that he was interested in and had wanted to open a breakfast place, like breakfast places, likes to eat breakfast. And, you know, felt like there was a fit for that in town. And he ended up finding this space, which it was a former fire station. So there definitely that theme is incorporated in the space. You'll go there and you look around, it's red. There's some memorabilia. There's that feel of, okay, we know what this was before, you know, plus it says Engine Company Number 3 on the front of it. But, you know, it's an interesting space that, you know, uses a lot of the reclaimed materials from the space that they were able to still use once they, you know, tore it apart and put it back together. But yes, open for breakfast and lunch. You know, Bloody Marys, you know, omelets, huevos rancheros, pancakes, things of that nature.
Have you had a chance to go and review that yet, or sample?
Have not reviewed it yet. Looking at that one down the line, still pretty early for that one.
Okay. Well, there's how many others do we have in Walker's Point? We have three more restaurants that have opened up.
Yeah, we have right on Second Street, which seems to be that's the street you want you're looking at with a lot of development. Morel, which is sort of a farm. The theme is farm to table. And a lot of the cooking is done sort of behind the bar, I guess, and not in the way that the social used to do years ago. But there's kind of that the kitchen is open, I guess you could say. And it's next to the bar, the liquor bar, that is. The old Industry Cafe on Second Street has closed, and its replacement is Movida, which is a Spanish restaurant. So serving tapas and paella and things like that. And, if you still think of in the realm of new, Blue Jacket, is still quite new. Circa 1880, just in the past, if you're talking about development just in that area, just in the past 2 to 3 years over near the La Miranda area, you still have those restaurants that are, hopefully, going strong as well. The Noble, also on Second Street. Zach's Cafe, that's also, just thinking about all these other places that you have to choose from in that neighborhood. AP Bar and Kitchen, which is co-owned by the owner of Crazy Water, also on Second Street.
And tucked a little bit out of the way of all these is Triskelli's.
Triskelli's, yeah. I mean, I guess that is technically Walker's Point as well.
Yeah, it is.
Which is a fun little sleeper kind of place that I always enjoy going to.
Yeah. Really good mac and cheese.
Real good burger too.
All right. Well, okay, well, let's just head a little south across the river to Bayview. There's a couple of new places opened up within the past, I don't know, 6 weeks, two months?
2 months, yeah. 2 to 3 months, I'd say. Good Kind is the big one, the one that I think people have been watching for several months because of the people who are behind it. It's the owners of Bernhardt's Bar in Bayview, the chefs originally from Roots, Paul and Lisa, a married couple. They also were cooking at Odd Duck and left Odd Duck to open Good Kind. And then you also add Katie Rose, who was a bartender at Bernhardt's. She's also one of the owners as well. So, I mean, this combines the sort of French farmhouse type of cuisine they want to do with local vegetables, farmers market vegetables and rotisserie meat items, and then craft cocktails, which, of course, if you know Bernhardt's, if you know Katie Rose, you know that she does those really well. Plus a really thoughtfully done beer list, which, again, you've got the Bernhardt's people involved in that. So, I mean, you've got everybody looking at all different sides of a menu, and it's not just food, it's not just drinks. So that place is really busy for obvious reasons.
I find the location really interesting because it's a little tucked away. It's really not easy to really walk to or get to. You need to actually go there. It has to be a destination unless you're going.
Unless you live nearby.
Well, yeah, or unless you're there to see a band at Cactus Club or Garibaldi. And also, I like the fact that it's open until 1 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, for those who know that area or remember businesses there, it's the old Mama Di Marini's. So it's a little bit north of Palomino and Cactus Club and Grappi's Food Market. It's near Phil and Dom Di Marini's. That's just around the corner from them. But it's a really cute space. They've redone it again, brought in a lot of reclaimed materials, kind of has a vintagey sort of look to it. So, but the late night thing I think is really key because I think for a lot of people that are looking to actually sit down and have a meal other than just a bar food type item, something fried at midnight, you don't have a lot of choices. So I think that's really great that they have that they're actually and at this time they're saying they're still serving the full menu until 1 a.m.
Okay. That's been tried at other places and it hasn't exactly gone well. I mean, is this now the right time in Bayview to have a restaurant open late?
Possibly. Yeah. I think that a lot of these the people that own it are friends with people in the restaurant industry. And so you've got I'm guessing you've got people that work in restaurants that kind of close things up at like 11 midnight and they're looking for something to eat, perhaps, and coming over. So there may be that element as well as people that just, maybe they're students, maybe their schedules that they work second shift. I don't know what I mean? Or people that just like to eat late at night.
And we've talked about late night dining before, and it seems like within the past year, some restaurants have extended.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but enough to remark that they've actually extended their hours to 1 a.m. in
right.
some cases.
But a lot of times, though, they do that, and then that's a separate menu. It's a separate bar menu or something really specific, or it's pizzas. This, what I think makes this interesting, is that it's the full restaurant menu, which not a lot of places are doing. Because that's a bit of a, you know, that means you got to keep everything going until that time of night.
Right.
You know?
Okay. And you've reviewed Good Kind, yeah?
I have.
Okay.
It appears in the September issue of Milwaukee Magazine.
I think you gave it a pretty favorable.
I did. Yeah. I think I really like it. I enjoy it. It's you know, it's very busy. So, I mean, if you are looking for a place to people watch and be one of the hottest places right now, that is it.
All right.
Good food. Very, very nicely done food.
All right. And a neighborhood that I really don't equate with dining is Story Hill.
What do you associate it with?
Just really cool houses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Story Hill. Yeah. It's a charming little neighborhood. No, but it's typically that stretch of Blue Mound and maybe 51st is known for sports bars, Irish pubs, things of that nature. It's near the Miller Park. So, but this is a really cute place. Story Hill BKC, owned by the same people that run Maxie's and Blue Zag, and it's bottle kitchen cup. That's what BKC stands for. So it's a coffee house, it's a restaurant, and it's a wine store. And a really cute place, fun menu, interesting stuff. Not a duplicate of any other restaurant that the owners have. It's a fun one, and I think for people in that neighborhood, my one concern is parking. You know, especially during, well, you know, obviously brewer season is ending. It's going to be a little bit easier, but I felt like kind of during the summer that maybe Brewers games might interfere with that. But a really fun place to go.
And what's their decor? What's their theme, I guess?
You know, again, it's that idea of using reclaimed materials, reclaimed barnwood. There's an old terrazzo floor that was in that space that they've restored. Kind of a fun, really kind of quirky mix of materials and colors. And I guess it's that idea of reclaimed, but it doesn't look like every other reclaimed wood floor restaurant or wood wall restaurant that you find in other parts of Milwaukee. It has a kind of singular look to it that's kind of homey, comfortable. It's a sweet look. It's a little bit different.
And one more place, and maybe why did Potawatomi feel the need to open Locavore? Is this in concert with the new hotel?
Yes, it is in the new hotel. It's on the ground floor. And I think you open a hotel, I mean, a hotel needs to have a restaurant. And so I think that went hand in hand with that. What they're doing here is, again, that this idea that has sort of taken over dining, at least in Milwaukee, which is the idea of local ingredients. Okay, so local, they're doing, you know, they wanted to have a lot of organic ingredients, sustainable, sourcing out sustainable ingredients. And so the restaurant's called Locavore, which comes from that term, which means, you know, basically local. And that's their restaurant. And it has sort of a modern look to it, which the hotel, and at least in the lobby area, does, you know, for certain. But so that's their whole theme, which this goes along with some very different restaurants that they have there, which is like Dreamland Steak, Wild Earth Cucina, which is Italian food. They've got an Asian restaurant there called Ruyi. They've got the buffet. So again, this sort of adds to the mix of dining there.
Okay. Well, thanks, Anne. A lot of new places to try.
Thanks.
Anne Christensen is senior editor and dining critic at Milwaukee Magazine and Lake Effect's regular dining contributor. She spoke with Dan Harmon. Some Milwaukeeans are building a big event this weekend. Literally, we'll learn about the Milwaukee Maker Faire when Lake Effect continues after a break on WUWM.